Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
Because we're both accountants, is like, often when you are the expert or you're the face or the beginning of that brand for your company, mm-hmm. it's a harder piece to quote unquote let go because you feel like it's you that's the exactly. expert. But it's, and to some extent it is, maybe the client facing, yeah. you know, the marketing that right. you're doing, blah, 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 blah. But in the end, it's the team that you're able to train.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where I'm at now, actually. You know, I've realized that. And the thing is, you know, so many of us want to hold on to that. I can't wait to get, you know, pull back a lot more so I can focus on a lot of other things and being able to really focus on making sure my team can do what they need to in order to best service our clients. So I can't wait to get to that point. But it is a struggle, though. It is a stage in the journey of owning your own business to be able to let things go. Yeah. And then, of course, we always feel like no one can do it better than us. But a lot of times there are folks, and we hopefully can hire people who can do certain things better than us, so we can really step into the leadership role and just say, hey, we're going in this direction. Can you do X, Y, and Z and let them do their thing?
Exactly. Because the true definition of leadership is like to empower people to really do their thing. Absolutely. And it's so funny. It's like that. And sometimes that's so hard to let go of that control because you're afraid, oh, it's just not going to be done the right way. My client might feel right. this way. You know, they're paying for it. No, they're paying for the experience. They're paying for the outcome.
Exactly.
And so exactly. much of it is that mindset shift to just like, yeah. okay, I'm willing, I'm ready. And obviously finding a good team, like finding
right,
people that
right.
you can trust
exactly.
to
exactly.
like let it go.
I think yeah. as accountants, we're just so used to the knowledge and experience and the expertise and the knowledge base of accounting itself that we get so wrapped up and don't even realize that our clients aren't with us necessarily because we, you know, studied for X amount of years. Like you said, they're here for the experience and the outcome is and the transformation. And however that looks, is as long as they feel good about how that occurs, is that's all that really matters. And so yeah, so we really have to really tweak our mindsets to that. Like, hey, yes, we're proud of what we've done. That's the thing. We have to go through so much, especially if you have certain certifications. We're proud about that. And we know what it took to get there. Our clients don't. And they really honestly don't care.
They care that you have the title, and some of them do. And I think that's also, I think, oftentimes must be frustrating for people that don't have the title that are very smart and very capable yes. where somebody is painted, oh, I have to work with the CPA. No, mm-hmm. you got to work with somebody that gets numbers. Maybe you need to work exactly. with the CPA if you really need somebody to sign off on the financials.
Exactly. And that's really it. They need somebody to sign off with. That's really pretty much it.
Yeah. It's yeah. so true. But you know what I think it's so funny? I started talking to a lot more CPAs and accountants in this last year on podcasts. And mm-hmm. you know, I feel like it was actually a group of people. You're my peers. And it's somebody, and it's a group I had neglected. Like I was like,
yeah,
it's so nice to talk with other accountants that are like-minded, that are focused on business and entrepreneurship. And I guess the big question I've got for you as we kick it off is like, who taught you about business? Because we didn't learn wow. that as accountants.
No, exactly. You kind of have to figure it out because everyone knows you need an accountant. You get that. That's the saying. That's how it goes. And it's true for so many different reasons, but the accounting function of any business is vastly different than the rest of the operational part that actually gets the job done, that actually bring in the money, that actually make sure that things are getting done efficiently, that you're planning capacity. There's so much that we can have our hand in, that we can have visibility into, but that doesn't teach us necessarily how to run a business. And if you look across the landscape of accountants, there's a lot of learning that we need because it's hard for us to adjust and to really learn and to understand that, hey, part of running an accounting practice means you have to be an entrepreneur. You have to work on marketing. You have to work on your sales and sales calls and talking. You actually have to talk to people. and so for me, You know, it's interesting. So I two things come to mind. So the first thing would be just my desire to be a quote unquote businessman. Mm-hmm. I remember being, I think I was either in kindergarten or first grade, and I got my school class picture or whatever, and I cut it out and I put it on the index card, and I said my name, my date of birth, and it said businessman. That was my business card. That was my first business card. I don't know why I put my date of birth on there, but I did. And so I remember always just wanting to be a businessman. I think it has something to do with the idea of feeling important, right? Wearing a suit, walking around with a briefcase. Yeah. You know, I was born and raised, and I still live here in Chicago. So, you know, it's a huge epicenter for business. And so I just thought the importance of it was what I wanted. And so I kind of always had the desire, right? And as time went on, I decided to major in accounting when I went to college or before then. And at that time I was in high school. Fortunately, my high school had a program. It was called Advanced Small Business. Oh. I took the class. I had some buddies that were in there before, and they were like selling hats, t-shirts of their own brand in high school. I maybe bought a couple things because they're my buddies, but you know, they were all just kind of hustling a little bit to sell as part of this class. And I was interested in it because I had a lot of friends who started doing it, taking the class. So I took it. And that opened my eyes up to a lot more of what business is and not just the title of being an entrepreneur. And so I had one of my teammates, I played football. We started a small business. Our thing was mentoring other young Black men or males, because we were all kids who are younger than us. But that was our business model plan that we came up with. And so the more we went through this class, which was two semesters, if you took the second portion, really opened my eyes into how different it was than what I expected. And so that kind of was really the launch pad for me to understand and to see the many aspects of running the business, the importance of relationships and things like that. So fast forward, once I got done with my accounting years, which honestly, it kind of helped me even early on with developing my relationship and looking at my career as my own personal brand. Mm-hmm. So that allowed me to navigate my accounting career and public accounting very differently early on, because I realized, like, to me, my career was my business. And, you know, the networking and the selling and the interviews and with the clients and actually performing and figuring out how to manage people that maybe I was training and things like that. And so by the time I started my business, sure, there was still a learning curve. Mm-hmm. There was experience that actually needed to be had and gained. But I had an idea, and it still excited me to be able to get further entrenched in that. So, yeah, it was that probably really was a launch pad, that advanced small business class, which everyone should take some type of business course, including accountants. Yes, we know the numbers. We know where they come from. But how does it really work? How does it really work in the end? And that, I think that will allow us to even connect deeper with our own clients.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of accounting, that seems like at first theory. And then when you understand business, you can really be part of business, yeah. You know, actually even go to your clients and like see what's happening and ask yourself these different questions. Like, well, why is that? Like, why, what's the point of a purchase order? Okay. You right. know, and that kind of deep interest gives mm-hmm. you more of that experience. So you did public accounting as well.
Correct. No, so when, first at the gate. Yep.
First out the gate, me too. For you, I think that's just so impressive that you already came the lens of like, this is already me building my own business in this career. And I think a lot of people that are still like doing the corporate thing, working for somebody else, could apply that lens, because it gives you a different vehicle to approach your job.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant. How did you, was it just like client meetings? You're like, how did you actually do it then? If somebody's like listening yeah. and they aren't in the spot that we're at, mm-hmm. owning their own business and cannabis, doing whatever they are, like what, tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I had an incredible supervisor at, he was a manager, he was a senior manager at the first audit firm that was at Legacy Professionals. And he kind of gave me that advice when I first started. Tim Fagan, shout out Tim Fagan. He was saying that, yeah, your career, and I think it was advice someone gave him, to look at it as, you know, your own like baby, but this is your career and what you put into it is what you got out of it. And so I looked at that as, yeah, my path is going to be unique from everyone else's. It was already unique from a diversity standpoint, from where I come from, my background. So I knew that whatever I wanted my career to look like, it was going to be solely based on what I put into it and how I wanted it to go. So kind of looking at things with the end goal in mind. Now that end goal wasn't quite exactly how I, or the, you know, the journey is still going, but
yeah.
It was a point for me to learn how to manage my time, right? That applies to any area in your life, including running a business as an entrepreneur, where you wear all the hats at first. I had to learn, because I knew, again, end goal in mind, I wanted to create something, my own business and run things, and eventually have my own employees. So when I was in a position to supervise, it was like, okay, how do I learn how to communicate with people so that I can get the desired result? You can see in your everyday life how important communication is, and where the lack of communication, how you can get in trouble sometimes, right? And so really being reflective, aware of all of these different things and how they can serve me ultimately, allow me to look at things differently and approach things differently instead of just, you know, just trying to get this audit work paper done. It's like, okay, how do I actually build these intangible skills so that one, if you build those skills, you're going to excel to some extent in some form of fashion in your actual career in public accounting, but two, outside of that, and really in any type of career that you find yourself in. And I got this advice, it may be from my dad, who was like, no matter where you are, you can learn something and it will help you at some point. You may not realize it yet. So at the time we were auditing labor unions, and like now fast forward, just understanding and looking at different things. And even with some of my legacy clients before we shifted to cannabis, you know, I had construction clients who had laborers, right? Labor union workers, and just understanding, just having a foundation allowed me to pick up more quickly with working with them in a CFO level capacity. And so all of these different things, and then understanding at that point some of the concerns of some of the workers, you don't think about those things from just, you know, everyday conversation. In a labor union, when you're auditing people, you maybe send out a confirmation request. You happen to maybe walk past somebody and spark a conversation, and you have no idea that you listening to some of their issues will come down 5, 6, 7 years later in a situation where you now can say you understand some of their concerns, and you're able to act in the capacity, again, as an advisor to help steer your clients in a certain direction. And it's crazy how when you look back, you can see those connections, but in the moment, you don't realize that's what's happening. But the important part is to understand that, hey, every situation is an opportunity to learn something. And it sounds kind of cliche because we hear it and we're like, sometimes we don't care because we just want to get through our days. We have kids, we have significant others. We got a lot of trying to build a business. We feel like we don't have the time to do anything. But those intangibles are, I think, what separates people, whether they're in a career. And, you know, I hate to look at it as competition, but sometimes it is. It's like, all right, when you look at your peers, how do you stand out and separate yourself? You look at yourself as an entrepreneur, how does your brand separate itself from everyone else? And a lot of the times it's the intangibles and not even the stuff that we learn in school or study for.
I think it's more than 80%. I mean, Pareto's principle, you can apply so much, yes, but it's got to be 80%. That is that uniqueness, that authenticity, that that your whatever why factor is usually what is going to separate yourself. Personal, I guess, brand, and but even from a business perspective, all that is very intrinsic to that brand that you're building. If we're even talking about, like, you've got employees, like you've got an accounting firm, like that still, yes, shows up. I find, yes, it very interesting. You're absolutely right of like just kind of how when you look back at your life, even like 20 years ago, when you look at where, mm-hmm, you are right now today in your career or in your business, you can really see those milestones that at that moment were not milestones at all, that literally got you to the path that you are. And it's just, you know, as you are here today and you're like, okay, well, where do I want to be in 20 years? It's like, how do you try to become more aware to enjoy those milestones that are, that you're experiencing right now that you don't know which one is a milestone?
I think it's very important to take a step back. And I was talking to my wife not that long ago, because I have my goals, and every day, you know, you have your ultimate vision for your life, your company, your business, whatever it is. And you get so wrapped up in the day to day that sometimes you even miss the fact that you're on the right pace that you need to be in order to achieve your goals. You're like, I got to get this done. There's so much. Oh, I have this goal and I'm not there yet. But if you take a step back. So for me, it was looking at the year and my company's revenue goals, and we hit it. And it was like, I finally took the time to look and to check. And it was like, okay, with all the pressures of the day, everything that's going on, just take a step back just for a second and realize the actual progress. And even if you haven't reached your goals, looking at where did you start at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the process, the beginning of the journey, and you realize that there was progress. And that's really what matters.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, what is it? I'm not going to butcher the quote. Kobe Bryant is one of my favorite athletes ever of all time. And, you know, he was big on the process and enjoying the process even more than the end result. And so for me, trying to take that to heart, to step back more frequently, to look at the process and enjoy knowing that I'm on the right trajectory. So sometimes there are days where it's tough, but I know that me getting through those tough moments is going to lead me to my ultimate goal and finding pleasure and peace and enjoy in those moments. I found have been very, very, very impactful for me.
Absolutely. What is your end goal?
My end goal. So, oh man. So my end goal is, I wanted to, so again, I'm going to preface this, right?
Okay.
I'm born and raised on the South Side of Chicago. A lot of small businesses fail. They open up shop, close down shop very quickly. So me getting into starting my own business started with working with small businesses in the local Chicagoland area, specifically on the South Side, where, you know, there's a lack of resources, lack of resources is probably the best way to put it, and what I call underserved communities. And so although I transitioned to cannabis, and a lot of it still relates to it from my past when I had family members incarcerated because of the war on drugs, just the overall idea of an underserved community and helping it build itself through small business and through my firm advising them, my end goal, it's to help build a more abundant small business community in Chicago. And that can look like many different ways, a certain X amount of numbers. So ultimately, even though my head is down right now in transcendent cannabis, and to some extent, especially when we work with our social equity folks, that vision and that goal and that end goal is still there. But ultimately, I do want to get back to serving the everyday entrepreneurs here in the South Side of Chicago, and to be able to help build a community that looks like, you know, teaching financial literacy to high school students and young kids, and from these very communities where, you know, they may not feel hopeful at all, or don't even realize the opportunities that are out there for a better financial future, to be able to help build a community of these small business owners and being able to impart the knowledge and the experience and to build a community amongst themselves so that the community itself begins to prosper more. So that is the end goal. And I know that will take the rest of my life, which I'm excited about, because I know I will always wake up kind of with a fire in my belly.
Yes. Well, and it's legacy, because when you can build something that is then all of a sudden going without you, when the community is growing and the education is there, and you have to start with the youth, you have to, like, it's just, especially with financial education, that's massive impact. And I think it's, you know, from somebody who like lives in so many different places, now I'm in Europe, what I love is that it's still focused on from where you're from, and that you can know, and that you've stayed with it though, that you haven't been like, I want to help the entire United States, I'm gonna help, blah, blah, blah. No, you're so focused on that because being able to move the needle in Chicago for small businesses, like that is massive.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work in collaboration, which is extremely important, that I think that we as accountants can do a better job and don't really realize all the time that, you know, our fellow accountants or business owners aren't our competition. And when you collaborate, you can reach your goals faster, a lot faster, and then even those ultimate, the ultimate vision. And so, yes, to be able to bring people on board together to do that, it's great to see now, and I can't wait to see how it pans out later on.
Yeah. And then it's interesting because we talked about kind of creativity and collaboration. Then we also talked a little bit, just very briefly, about competition. And like, I've been on this quest of, you know, personal finance now for quite some time. Yeah. And one of the books that I was just listening to, one of the ones like from the 1930s, was talking about, I mean, it's all about kind of mindset, which is just fascinating. Like the tactics, I think a very small fraction, but that there's the creative field and then there's the competitive, the creative field, and then there's the competitive field. And really getting out of the competitive field and thinking creativity and abundance is going to be the way to success. Like when you hover into competition, you might have short-term gains, but you're not having long-lasting gains at all.
Absolutely. And I think your focus is in a completely different direction, because now you're focusing on the next person instead of focusing on yourself. And in my opinion, once you lose your focus on whether it's self-improvement or self-awareness, whatever that is, you're going to go off the path and now you're not going to maximize, you're not going to improve as greatly. You're just going to miss out on so many different things. And even what I feel is self-actualization, by just focusing on yourself and what you can control and being able to, like you say, to be creative and to really entrench yourself in your own journey, because we're all unique and our journey is going to be unique. Our strengths are unique. And so competition, I think, although I think there's some benefit in it, I think there's a lot more benefit in focusing on your own potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.